As we prepare for our morning worship this morning, we just highlight a few announcements. We do want to just highlight in the bulletin about the entrances to the church next week. Just highlight in your bulletin just to know how to be able to navigate throughout the church as the floors downstairs are being waxed. We appreciate your patience with that process. And next week, we're going to do something very special. We know many students among us are heading back to school, heading back to college. Teachers are heading back to their respective schools as well. And so we want to do a blessing next week of the teachers and the students. So if you want to bring like your backpack or you want to bring your pencil, a briefcase if you're a teacher, and we'll have a time just to pray for you as you head back to school, that your lights would shine and that you would know that God goes with you and just that you have a blessing as you move forward in your next chapter in life. So congratulations as you start school, and congratulations to teachers, another year of teaching, job well done. We want to highlight the Kobe's Bike and Hike is coming up on the 13th. The youth are looking to be in first place again, if you will. So we encourage you to support our youth as they hike or bike. And of course, I'll be on the Harley riding in the motorcycle ride of the Kobe's Hike, but that's on the 13th. And Feeding Trough Cafe, if you haven't made it to the Bible study, we're in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and just encourage you to come on out on the Thursdays at 6 o'clock at the cafe to enjoy a study through the New Testament. Are there other announcements that we'd like to highlight this morning before we begin our worship time? All right, let's worship the Lord together. And you may be seated. We do indeed recognize this morning that the Lord Jesus is Lord of all. Amen? Amen. We turn this morning to our joys and concerns, and we invite you as a body of believers and the fellowship of believers to share the joys that you may have on your heart or also any concerns that we may lift up this morning. You'll notice in the bulletin there are many gathered there already, but encourage you to lift those up throughout the week, and we know that God indeed hears our prayers. There'll be a microphone coming around. If you could wait for the microphone so we all could hear your request.
I'd like to announce a joy this morning, something that doesn't happen a lot in our society anymore. Unfortunately, I raised up last year baby Isabella, had a lot of issues with her heart, had to have multiple surgeries, born very early. Yesterday, I got to attend her parents' wedding. So I just want to raise up, that's a great joy.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here, knowing that the dangers of persecution don't exist as much as they exist in those places around the world, such as Nigeria. And we want to lift up our brothers and sisters. We want to place them into your arms, that you would guard them, you would protect them, that your angels would surround them, and they would know your love, that they would know your peace. And that those that are persecuting would come to know you through their love, through their service to you. So, Father, we just pray for our Nigerian brothers and sisters this morning. We think of Lloyd this morning and Pete and Mike and John and Jen and Denise and Anna Mary and Catherine and Carl and Roberta and Bob and Chelsea and Harold and the Campbell family and the Fox and Dunkel families and others that are on our hearts this morning. And we lift them up to you, Lord. You know the healing touch that they need in their lives for the struggles with their health they may be dealing with. You know the guidance and the direction that many are seeking and waiting for test results, Lord. We just pray that you would be their God and be in their midst, Lord. We pray for relief from any pain that people may be feeling in this moment, and pray in Jesus' name that you would allow healing to take place, that pain would no longer exist. And we think of those that have lost loved ones and family members and friends. And Lord, we thank you that there is eternity, that there is a place where we go if we just simply believe upon you. So Lord, this morning, as we consider our relationship with you, we know there are things we may have done that haven't pleased you. And we bring them to you during these next few moments of silent prayer and ask your forgiveness. Father, we thank you that there is forgiveness through the cross. We know it was there that you sent your one and only Son, that we could be set free. Not only free from sin, but free from the pains and the sorrows of this life that one day we know we'll be in rejoicing and we'll be celebrating with you as we see you face to face. But Father, while we're here, we pray we would be a witness, we would be a friend to others, that others might see your love through us, that our lights would shine, that we might be able to tell our stories and to share how you've made such a difference in the hope that we have. So Father, thank you for leading us here, for giving us joy and for giving us peace. And we just turn to you now as we continue to worship you. And we ask, Lord, that you would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We know who we believe upon, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that He is able. And one of the greatest struggles in life is allowing our finances to be under the control of God. And this morning, I just encourage us to know that God's word is true, that He is able, He will provide, and He will give us as we need. So we turn to Him this morning in prayer, thanking Him for the blessings and asking Him to allow us to give with joyful and cheerful hearts. Lord God, thank You for this opportunity to give, this opportunity to share in the abundance that You have provided us in this life. Father, we know that You are indeed able. We know that You are indeed the God of provision. And we pray, Lord, that You would meet every need that is in this congregation. We pray for individuals, Lord, who are giving this morning, and pray an abundant blessing upon them. Thank You, Lord, for each giver. And may it be used to bring glory to Your name is what we pray in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to invite any children up front with me. Have any of you ever seen a mustard seed?
No.
No? The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds. It's so small, you can hardly see it. Some people wear it as a necklace, and some people wear it as a symbol of faith. Do you know why the mustard seed is considered a symbol of faith?
No?
Nope. Nope? One day, Jesus was talking to His disciples when one of them turned to Him and said, "Lord, increase our faith." Jesus answered and said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this to a mulberry tree. Be uprooted and planted in the tree, planted in the seed, and it will obey you." Can you imagine what it would be like to have that kind of faith? I heard a story about a man who read this verse in the Bible and decided to put it to the test. There was a large tree in his front yard, so he went out to that tree and said, "In the morning when I wake from my sleep, I want you to be gone." That night, the man went to bed, and the next day he woke up and went out, opened his front door and looked out to his front yard. Just as I thought, the man said, "It's still there." Well, first of all, the man didn't have mustard seed-sized faith, did he? In fact, he didn't have any faith at all. When he told the tree to be moved, he never expected it to happen. In the second place, I think that the man misunderstood what Jesus was trying to teach him. Jesus was not suggesting that you and I go around trying to move trees just to prove that we have faith. What Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, and what he wants you and me to learn, is that it doesn't take a great faith to produce great results. Why? Because the results don't depend on us. They depend on God. If the results depended on the size of our faith, I have no doubt that we would probably go around bragging about our great faith. What have you guys learned about faith today?
Faith. Faith means that you're royal sometimes. Faith can mean royal.
Faith can mean royal?
Because lots of people have faith in them. And do you know faith could be a name?
Faith could be a name?
Yes. I had a girl in my class that was named Faith.
Yeah. This is what I hope you guys learn. Don't ask for great faith so that we can do great things. Ask for faith the size of a mustard seed so that we can see God do the great things. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and pray to God. Dear God, we ask for a mustard seed size faith. Help us to believe and never doubt your almighty power. Amen. You guys can go back.
Friends, what you have just seen is called an age morph. It's an online application. If you dare, take pictures from when you were a baby to when you are of age now and see the morph that takes place between birth and now. One of the most rewarding and yet most difficult things to do in life is watch our children grow. One day we're changing their diapers and the next we're sending them off to college. They no sooner start riding their bike and now they're driving a car. The hand we once held to cross the street is now holding the hand of their child and their spouse. We learn as time goes on, growth is an essential part of life. It's funny how what we thought as a child was a punishment has now become an adult delight, even at times necessary, like taking naps. I encourage you, however, not to do so during these next few moments. But one thing I've learned is that no matter how old you are, Legos, everyone know what Legos are? Legos are always appropriate. For some, however, there comes a time when they simply need to let go and grow onward. As we transition to today's parable found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, I'd like you to hear a bit of comedy from Jerry Seinfeld. He said, "Make no mistake about why these babies are here. They're here to replace us." We all know labor doesn't end when the baby is born. It's only just begun. And as Bruce Barton once said, if you can give your son or daughter only one gift, let it be enthusiasm. This morning, there's a lot to be enthusiastic about Jesus' parable. It teaches us that faith starts like a tiny seed. But when it grows, watch out. There's a tremendous difference within and a lasting impact throughout the roads that we travel. Jesus tells us this in our passage. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Mustard, we're told, is one of the oldest condiments in the world. They found it in Egyptian tombs, and it's included in much of old stories from India. For many of us, it's best used as a combination with ketchup on a hot dog or on a burger. Some scholars have even commented that perhaps even Jesus used mustard, if only as a crushed powder. The Romans most likely developed the prepared seeds we know today. They mixed unfermented grape juice, known as must, with ground seeds called sinapis, to form mustum ardens, or burning must, known today as mustard. It's an acquired taste. If you've ever tried it, we know the taste is strong and powerful. It has a very distinct smell to it as well. There's nothing quite like mustard. When we add it to a bologna sandwich, for example, we know that it's there. It pervades, it sinks in, it saturates. We can even say the flavor takes over whatever it's added to. So I put that to the test this week, and I took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, one of my old-time favorites, and I put some mustard on my peanut butter and jelly. Who does that? This guy. And I tasted it, and wouldn't you know, the mustard took over even the flavor of peanut butter and strawberry jelly, even grandma's strawberry jelly. So keep that at the front of your mind as we study this parable. Mustard permeates everything. It's a memorable taste. Whether you love it or despise it, it leaves a lasting impression. So why all this talk about mustard anyway? Well, if Jesus talked about it, we should too. Now remember that Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in short stories. Often, more than not, they have two levels of meaning. A parable is like a simile, an example, a metaphor, all at the same time. Commentators tell us that Jesus didn't invent parables, but used them when he taught, especially when he spoke about the kingdom of God. Now you wonder, what was Jesus' goal in speaking parables? It was to relay what was considered a complicated spiritual truth in a way that anyone could understand it, if they chose. In this parable, the Apostle Matthew includes an Old Testament quote from Psalms that speaks of utterances and parables and hidden truths. This was written so that Jesus would fulfill the prophecy. Now, the two parables we just read about in verses 31 to 35 are two parables that indeed speak about the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God was promised in the Old Testament, also known as the kingdom of heaven, and it was led into existence with the birth of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is nearer to us now because of the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's also in the future, and it's promised to all who believe. When Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking about this age or the age to come with its new heaven and new earth, populated by the redeemed community who have responded to Jesus in faith. All these things are part of God and what He has in store for us. Many people will walk through this life and question what God's really like, question what heaven's like. And these two narratives describe what we can expect from our faith in Jesus. Keep in mind, Jesus' mission at first was not a world-shaking event, but it was a small, insignificant movement of a Jewish leader and a handful of followers, much like that grain of mustard seed. Yet, when we look at the overall picture of Scripture, we find that it turns out to be a great tree. At present, it perhaps is like a bit of yeast in a great bowl of dough. But one day, the dough will fill the bowl, for the yeast has filled every part of the dough. You see, there's a contrast happening here between these two parables. The small, unexpected form of the presence of the kingdom, with a vast greatness in its final totality. It all starts with a small amount of faith in our lives. That faith grows, it begins to expand, and before we know it, every ounce of our being is being consumed by the presence of God. We no longer live to ourselves, but we live for the kingdom of God, filling every corner of our world with His good news. It saturates us, and it saturates others. So much so that it leaves a lasting impression, like that mustard. It reminds me of the story of a CEO. He had just started at a new company, and he wanted to leave a lasting impression on his fellow workers. So he was taking a tour of the facility, and he thought to himself, he was determined to get rid of all slackers. So he notices this guy leaning against the wall. And the CEO walked up to him and he said, "How much money do you make in a week?" And the guy was a bit surprised and he looked at him and he said, "$300 a week, why?" The CEO then hands him $1,200 in cash. And he yells at him, "Here's 4 weeks' pay, now scram and don't come back. We don't employ slackers here." Feeling pretty good about his first firing, the CEO looks around the room and he says, "Let this be a sign for all of you. Workers get paid, not slackers." And then he says this, "Who was that guy anyway?" And this guy in the corner, sitting at his desk, muttered, "That was the pizza delivery guy from Domino's." Impressions do matter. And this parable that Jesus tells us involving a mustard seed leaves a lasting impression. You see, the rabbis would use a grain of mustard to characterize something very minute. The mustard plant, however, can be described as a tree spreading out great branches. Some would grow to be 15 feet in good conditions, and birds would often land on them to eat their seeds, to take up shade from the burning sun. But something we have to keep in mind, those birds that landed could not build their nests there. I think there's something important for us to note concerning that. Because as our faith grows and we begin to share our stories and others come to know Christ, the enemy may land in our territories. He may attempt to take believers from within. But the enemy's residence is not in our heavenly world. He's like those birds who can perch on that branch, but sooner or later in Jesus' name, he must leave. How many kids out there remember the big red dog Clifford? Any kids remember the big red dog? Any adults, grandparents remember the big red dog? We're all pretty familiar with Clifford the big red dog, but he didn't start out that way. In fact, Clifford, if we remember correctly, was what? The runt of the litter. And so it was his owner, Emily Elizabeth, who loved Clifford so much that he grew and grew to the size of a two-story house. Now that's what we'd call a big dog. You see, some things start out small, but they become big, they become strong. Simply ask an older brother who picked unendingly on a younger brother who now is 6 inches taller than him. It's the same with our faith. When we grow, our love grows. When our love grows, the world knows more about Jesus. And before we begin to conceive it, the kingdom is growing and we're standing amazed in the presence. Now, as we turn to that second parable Jesus spoke of involving yeast, we realize these parables are actually related because they essentially describe the same thing. We know that yeast works best when it is worked through the dough. I'm no baker by any means, but I'm told the bread will turn out best if care is taken when kneading. The whole batch is affected, and when yeast is added, it changes the bread mixture from flat, unleavened bread to a huge, magnificent loaf of deliciousness. It's like this with our faith. We see how our lives influence others around us as we love, as we show joy, as we have peace, as we demonstrate patience and kindness, as we're gentle, and most of all, as we have self-control. We see those things permeating, not only within ourselves, but affecting those around us. The world we know begins to understand a greater truth, and they see a greater hope through Jesus. Now, I know what I'm about to say may seem strange, but there was a time in my life I really, really, really enjoyed watching reruns of I Love Lucy. In the 1950s comedy classic, one episode dealt with Lucy's lack of cooking skills. I can identify. In this episode, she had no clue how much yeast to use. So she kept dumping it in one box after another. She left the bread in the fridge, and as she often did, she went and took a phone call for quite a while. When she returned to the kitchen, it was filled with bread. Now, I want you to think of that in relation to the church. Wouldn't it be rather incredible if our love spread throughout this community, that this church would be filled with new believers? Yeast, we know, was commonly used in a bad sense, pertaining to evil. But here in this particular parable, we know that yeast could be considered neutral, even beneficial, in the sense that our faith should grow in community, should grow in loving one another, and should grow in how we live life. True faith, we know, is something that is noticed by others. We speak differently, we act differently, we hold different values. Spending even 5 minutes with us, someone could determine whether we're of faith or not of faith. Not a single part of our lives can be separate from our faith. It instructs us how to live in every situation. God, we're reminded, requires submission. God requires total surrender. God wants all of us. He doesn't want this part of our lives or that part of our lives. He's asking for all of us. And quite honestly, when we consider the message of Jesus Christ, even a child can recall what Jesus had done. So it shouldn't be difficult as we communicate that message with others, the love story that God has poured forth for us. And we know it's one that doesn't change. It's one that will never change. So if we want memorable, like the taste of that mustard, we have memorable. But what we learn, and perhaps you have learned throughout your life, is in different people, in different circumstances, that they seem hopeless, they seem insignificant. When God is involved, something small, even like that mustard seed, can be transformed into something great, like that yeast added to the dough. In God's kingdom, people, situations, circumstances are not limited to how they appear in the natural or expected or the ordinary. We see God using Gideon and 300 men. Moses, a man who stuttered. Jesus, who fed 5,000, even more, with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And we could go on and on this morning. These circumstances seem so small and destined for insignificance, but they all had one common factor. God was involved. We're each living as members of God's kingdom here on earth. The things we do, the things we say, our circumstances, when done according to the will of God, are causes for growth. God, we learn, is the reason we can say, now that's growth. I'll close with this scripture from 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul wrote these words, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." No matter how small, God can turn it into something great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a work here on this earth to do as the kingdom approaches. We know not the day, we know not the hour, but Lord, we know that you are in control of these circumstances. We know that you have taken small things, things that seem like they wouldn't matter, like they wouldn't make a difference, and you have blown them into things that have been great and very significant. And so we're praying that it would be so with our lives, that no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem, you would take that and cause it to turn into something great. We thank you, Lord, for being amidst us, for sending your Holy Spirit to work on our behalf, that it's not about us, but it's about you and sharing your love with others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we close this morning, we'll have an opportunity for us to be anointed. Remember in the book of James, it says, if any among you are sick, to call upon the elders, and he shall be healed. And that healing takes place in Jesus' will, in God's will for our lives. This anointing oil has nothing significant about it. It's simply a symbol of God using a human and praying in Jesus' name that healing might take place. We know that it's not only sickness, we know that it could also be guidance. It could also be a new chapter in your life. It could be the ability to grow deeper in your faith. But we come this morning as we sing our closing hymns. I invite the deacons to come forward with me. And I encourage you, as you seek God's face this morning, if there's something hindering you from growing further into that relationship with him, or something upon your heart that's keeping you from really living into who you truly are, or simply seeking God's guidance or seeking God's will, we encourage you to be anointed this morning. There'll be deacons here in the front with me as we sing our closing hymn. I'll remain here after the service if you don't want to come forward during our closing hymn, and we can be glad to anoint you after the service as well. But let's pray and allow God to work in our midst. Father, we come before you. We know that anointing is a powerful tool for us to be able to share in our faith, to know that through anointing it's a symbol, but it allows us to be able to be guided by the Holy Spirit. It allows us, if it's according to your will, to be healed of sickness, to be guided and given direction. So Lord, we just come to you and we ask that you would be here among us, that your words would speak through our lips, and we would allow your will to be done in each of these individuals' lives. So thank you for being with us in this place. Amen. front after the service. If anyone would like to be anointed and feels more comfortable after the service, we would be glad to anoint you and pray in Jesus' name for his will to be accomplished. But let's close in prayer as we enter into our final hymn this morning. Lord Jesus, just thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being a God that is ever present in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our midst. You would continue to allow us to serve you, continue to surrender. And Lord, you know what's upon our hearts. You know the struggles. You know the direction we're asking for. And we're just praying in Jesus' name that you would allow it to be so according to your will and to your good purpose. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise for our closing hymn this morning. For we know that God is continually at work among us. We know that there is a God that we can turn to daily in prayer, and he hears our prayers. As we go out through this week and we serve him, may his name be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Go in peace. Go knowing that God goes with you. Amen. I'll remain at the front if anyone would desire anointing, and be glad and know that God is here with us.